Breaking news. This is your World War III update. We have some very important information to share about a developing story today. Now, I must preface what I'm about to tell you with a disclaimer that nothing is 100% official as of yet. In fact, it's impossible to get any sort of officiation of any information nowadays in light of the fact that the media is tightly controlled by a bunch of self-serving oligarchs. The best we can hope for is to try to get a realistic piecing together of reality based on our own processes of induction. And that's what we've done today. Just to get to the chase, we have an RQ-4 American Global Hawk drone potentially downed in the Black Sea by a Russian MiG-31 interceptor aircraft. According to a Telegram channel that is affiliated with the Russian Air Force, they are claiming that a MiG-31 aircraft shot down an American RQ-4 Global Hawk drone. Now, why is this not only plausible, but incredibly probable? Well, in the last 24 hours, there's been two major attacks against the Russian civilian population. One terrorist attack with armed gunmen in Dagestan province, and another on the beaches of Sevastopol, where you had an ATACMS missile target a group of civilians, killing four, injuring 150, that were likely being targeted by American mercenaries, NATO mercenaries. I mean, that's just, you know, maybe it was Ukrainians who finally trained on it. Maybe they got the Ukrainian to put his finger over here and push the button just to make it officially a Ukrainian job. Regardless, they were leveraging this RQ-4 Global Hawk that, of course, was providing them targeting information that was flying in the Black Sea at the time. Now, interestingly, and even more crazy, is what they were targeting were Russian nuclear early warning radars. You can't make this up. So instead, they hit this beach in Sevastopol that civilians are, of course, you know, enjoying civilian life on as much as you can in a war zone, I suppose. And I'm not going to get in the politics of who's right and who's wrong and who should be in Crimea and who shouldn't. It is what it is. What we're trying to understand here is this going to be escalatory? Should we be concerned? Of course, this day and age, every one of these data points of escalation is a point of concern. Now, this, of course, would implicate the U.S. majorly in this attack, which would create the grounds for retaliation for the Russians to shoot it down and do so quickly, because these things aren't hard to shoot down. I mean, the Houthis are shooting them down. They've shot down, what, almost half a dozen already? The Russians could easily shoot them down. In fact, as a flex, they brought one down in 2022 using a combination of electronic warfare and jet fuel. Of course, the mainstream media in the West, here we ran with the story of the Russians pour jet fuel on the drone because, you know, Russia gas station with nukes stereotype, it played into that quite well. But the Russians, of course, have already summoned the American ambassador in Moscow and reprimanded them for this event, and it insinuated and implicated them in the attacks and put the blame square on NATO's lap for these attacks. So this, of course, would be the reddest of red lines. You used your weapons to target territory that we deem to be our own, not Russia proper, but Crimea, which is still, of course, a subject of debate in this war. And you did it using an RQ-4 Global Hawk drone. A decent compromise would be that we shoot down that drone. You don't lose any lives. Of course, U.S. officials have denied that this has happened whatsoever. And that is actually kind of a good thing, because that might mean that there still is some back channel communication, some secret game of cat and mouse, if you will, that is being played behind the scenes that we don't really know about. We see the manifestations of it every once in a while, but it's very likely that if this was shot down, why wouldn't the U.S. just deny it? Because apparently it was flying with its transponders off. So this Telegram channel that's affiliated with the Russian Air Force claims. Now, would this Telegram channel just make shit up? It's possible, but if we believe that Russia is an authoritarian regime and guys tend to fall out of windows for seemingly a lot less, because remember, if they are making these false claims, and this has the potential, of course, to escalate to a major global conflict, you know, that would be grounds for maybe not treason, but they could definitely be court-martialed for something, for disclosing information, right? So I don't think that they would just be making this up. And of course, Telegram is a Russian-controlled app. So it's not like it could be Ukrainian disinformants or anything like that. Now, again, this recent attack was just one in a string of attacks against Moscow, really, where you could implicate American Black Sea targeting systems as well as weapon systems. And of course, now the green light is on for essentially Moscow, anywhere where Russia has weapons. But more interestingly, the most interesting aspect of this is what they were targeting in the Black Sea, which just happened to be the strategic radars. Okay, so prior, during the Soviet era, the Russians apparently had these strategic radars. They have strategic radars everywhere, but they had some in Crimea as well, but they were decommissioned when Ukraine was in charge of Crimea, and they were actually recommissioned starting in 2014. So there's a lot of misinformation circulating that these radars that were targeted were defunct and they were already decommissioned, but in fact, they've been refurbished and utilized for the purpose of not only early warning detection systems, but deep space communication. Now, I don't know all the scientific jargon, but when you have the American spy planes and American weapon systems, likely American mercenaries trying to take out Russian nuclear radars, I wonder if that's a problem. I wonder if that's a red line. And I can only imagine what sort of things are happening behind the scenes that the Russians are doing to us that we are just denying to save face, because we also don't want this to escalate to the nuclear level, but we are trying to do the impossible. We are trying to strategically defeat the Russians in such a way that they accept that defeat without it going nuclear, which they've clearly stated is an impossibility, which is why today, the wheels continue to be in motion for Russia to change their nuclear doctrine. I believe it was Dmitry Peskov or another member of the Russian parliament who today reiterated that Moscow is going to be reducing the decision-making time stipulated in its official policy for the use of nuclear weapons if it believes that threats are increasing. Of course, this is something that's been floated for the last 2 days, because the Russians pride themselves on this legalese and jurisprudence. It's of no surprise that they're trying to make sure that they check off all the boxes before the deployment and the use of tactical nuclear weapons in this theater. The use case for nuclear weapons has been floated by a Ukrainian official, or yes, I believe it was a retired Ukrainian general. He believes that the most likely use of tactical nuclear weapons in the theater of conflict would surprise people, but it's going to be the corridors, the transport corridors from Western countries into Ukraine, because of course that way the fallout is not necessarily going to reach and inactivate Russia's access. So you'd want to put it far enough away that it wasn't interfering in the east. So he thinks that if they're going to use it, they're going to use it on a Romanian airbase, they're going to use it on a Polish airbase, and it's going to be up to us if we want to enact Article 5 and actually go out to all-out nuclear war. And I think the Russians, if it's true that American officials are denying that an RQ-4 Global Hawk was shot down, and it indeed has, a lot of ifs there. If all that is true, then that likely means that the Americans are scared, and as we should be scared. Nobody wants nuclear Armageddon, but that also means that maybe Article 5 isn't as ironclad as a lot of people suspect, okay? So there's some good news and some bad news to this, that maybe the Russians feel as though they've appeased and they've got the retribution for the lives lost on the beach in Crimea. And make no mistake, the Russian government really doesn't care about civilian deaths as much as our government does. This is about the radars that are targeting. This is about Russia's existence as a nation first and foremost. So, in addition to that, there's so much else going on right now. We have Peskov commenting, Dmitry Peskov, he is basically the mouthpiece for Vladimir Putin. And here's what he has to say about the U.S. perception of war. And I found this very interesting. The main danger to the whole world is that the Americans have never suffered a full-scale war on their soil, of course, since the Civil War. The bombs never fell on their heads. Their mothers never did protect their children with their bodies from shrapnel. This allows them to act like a monkey with a grenade. They have no idea what they will face in the event of a real conflict, but this is the main weakness of their strategy. They do not understand the logic of a major war. Again, this is not my point of view. This is us trying to understand our adversary's point of view and not just being blinded by our own hubris about the situation so that we end up making a bunch of mistakes. That's the smart thing to do. That's how you wage war intelligently. Of course, right now, you have people calling for Russia's strategic defeat. A Ukrainian political scientist is advocating for Russian balkanization. In fact, you're seeing a lot of EU politicians calling for the balkanization of Russia. The final goal of the anti-Russia project for the West and Ukrainian politicians is that Ukraine should become a trigger that will lead to systemic changes within Russia and the breaking up of Russia into many different countries. So how do you think the Russians are going to respond to that? Probably not too good. Currently in Poland, there's a mechanized division. Near Kaliningrad, they're developing rapid corridors so that they can transport troops and materiel into position when the war spills over from Ukraine. According to the Russians, they are claiming that Poland is actually secretly, covertly mobilizing 120,000 troops, reservists, okay? And based on the Polish sources that I've been speaking with, or we've been emailing back and forth for some time now, that checks out. It definitely makes perfect sense. Everybody is suggesting that we are going to war. You have Viktor Orban, who has said that NATO has already made the decision to go to war and that his country is not going to have any part in it. In fact, you have the Turkish foreign minister today insisting that there is a risk of a major world war. You have the president of Turkey. What's his name again? His name eludes me right now, but he's going to be meeting with Vladimir Putin. And that tells you Turkey has always been somewhat of a bridge between NATO and Russia, a line of communication, and that he's going to be talking directly with Vladimir Putin soon tells you that this could be one last chance to try to avoid all-out warfare. Alexander Vučić, the guy who we made a video on a few weeks ago, the Serbian president, who was talking about how he believes that World War III is going to start in 90 days, he's doubled down on that, or he said there was a very high probability. In fact, he said it could even happen sooner than that. He is doubling down on that in a recent speech that he was giving. He says, Serbia must prepare for a difficult period. In an unstable world, it is impossible to predict what will happen in a year, he said. Therefore, we must think about our country and prepare well for every possible scenario. He continued, urging the ministry to be prepared for a difficult period ahead, not because Serbia is in a difficult or bad condition, but because I know what will happen in the world. I know that the situation here will be much more difficult. So it's important to ensure that reserves exist. Reserves, they're stockpiling everything in that country, and to prepare for this period. Now, I'm not sure if it was some sort of disinformation campaign that went after Vučić recently. They're trying to make the claim that they are providing the Ukrainians with ammunition. Now, Vučić has fired back and said, no, we're not providing Ukraine with ammunition, but we do sell ammunition to various European countries. And in the same way that numerous countries are, circumventing Russian sanctions by getting the black market oil, which is why some EU countries, are getting more oil from Russia than they were before, just by a third party acting as an intermediary. Well, in the same way, he's saying that, no, we don't sell ammunition to Ukrainians directly, but we do sell to some EU countries, and what they do with it is their problem. Okay, so they're trying to create some division between Serbia and Russia, even though Serbia, as they play neutral, as far as I understand, they still sympathize with the Russian narrative. Okay, apparently Ukraine is touting the creation of a 1,000-kilometer range Neptune missile that they're going to start to fire at Moscow. Of course, Moscow is going to have to presume that the Americans had a hand in the development of that weapon system. We have the U.S. and U.K. doing strategic reconnaissance, joint strategic reconnaissance missions near Finland, which is interesting because this has never happened before that they've done these joint missions. So it's just another data point worth mentioning that there's a lot more strategic reconnaissance currently underway. For the first time, with both U.S. and British RC-135 Rivet joint signal collection planes over Finland at the same time, British coming up from the south while the U.S. entering from the north. I don't have the maps to show you today. I'm just kind of doing this on the fly, but shit is definitely heating up. EU countries are going to be blocking Russia's media access. So I think they've already banned RT. Now they're banning Rio Novosti. Rio Novosti tends to be a little bit, they provide a bit more truth. They provide stories before they hit Russia Today, we'll say. Russia Today, I'd say, was a little bit more official, but Rio Novosti, you get more op-ed stuff. Just making sure I covered all my bases here, everything we got to go over. Okay, I think we're ready to move on to Israel. There was also another fire that had developed in Moscow today. So the acts of sabotage continue around the clock, on both sides, I should add. In fact, we got to talk about a cyber attack on the Federal Reserve that happened today, which was pretty crazy. Bitcoin down, Nvidia down. Is the bubble finally bursting? I don't know. Something is definitely going on, but there was a fire at the Russian Defense Ministry's building that develops radio electronic systems. So all of these strategic assets continue to be targeted. This was a blaze at the Platin Research Institute, and this is not just some random one-off event. The amount of fires that have taken place, I mean, there was a time when you could probably say, okay, it's just a coincidence. There are hundreds of fires that happen in every country every year. This is just another one of those. These aren't coincidences. These are acts of sabotage, which means that Russia is heavily penetrated by spies and by saboteurs. They also fired the Russian radar chief who was responsible. Not the radar chief, excuse me. He was a oligarch that was a chairman of RTI Systems, which is one of the companies that overlooks and is subcontracted by the Russian Ministry of Defense to oversee these radar systems and make sure they work. Now, because Ukraine and, I guess, NATO attempted to attack these radars and obviously nearly came close to doing so, this guy has now been, I believe he's being tried for fraud. So perhaps there were claims that these things could do more than they actually did. So the Russians are going after them. They're tightening everything up. Yes, and this story about Russia claiming a covert Polish reservist, 120,000 troops. Apparently, they're getting ready to move troops towards Kaliningrad and into the western part of Ukraine. So they're preparing for Ukraine to collapse, okay? Period, point blank. On the topic of Israel, it appears as though, like we've been saying, the war with Hezbollah is inevitable. It's just a matter of when they're going to do it. U.S. officials are trying to prevent a bigger war in the Middle East, but are issuing an unusual warning to Hezbollah. This is from Politico, who tends to be a very reliable source. Don't assume that Washington can stop Israel from attacking you. Okay, so they're giving their tacit approval to Israel to attack, because of course they said, if you do attack back, then we're going to have Israel's back, but we can't, you know, even though our hands are tied here, you know, we're just forced, this little country of 6 million people or whatever it is, or 9 million people, is forcing us to send them weapons and to put billions of dollars worth of assets in the region to protect them if they just decide to arbitrarily start a conflict. Okay, that's what we're supposed to believe. Israel currently using white phosphorus in Lebanon, no big deal. just some white phosphorus weapons that burn people. And I think, I'm not sure if they're, it's not a banned weapon technically, but it's one of those weapons that is frowned on by the Geneva Convention. According to the Lebanese religious leader, Jafari Mufti Sheikh Ahmad Kabalan, that's a long ass name. The Lebanese Grand Jafari Mufti Sheikh Ahmad Kabalan has said that we will drop 500,000 missiles on Israel. Israel should expect about 500,000 missiles and a destructive capacity that will take it 70 years back. Now, of course, if they do that, they're going to use the Samson option. I believe that the threshold for nuclear use is much lower than that. Of course, this is the same country who has something called, or at least had officially something called the Hannibal Doctrine, but they're saying that they still unofficially practice it. And basically that is that they're willing to kill their own if it means not allowing state secrets to fall into the enemy's hands. Who needs a cyanide pill when you have the Hannibal Doctrine? Reinforcements have arrived in Lebanon. Military advisors from the Iraqi Popular Mobilization Forces have arrived in Lebanon to assist Hezbollah. This is from the Associated Press, quoting an Iraqi official. So I've had people from the Middle East tell me that the Yemenis are going to be moving north and that they are going to be not only going to war likely with Saudi Arabia, but quite possibly coming to help the Lebanese. So in terms of general manpower and the asymmetrical aspect of this conflict, it's going to be very difficult. This could be Israel's undoing, and it could all be the result of one man who just doesn't want to go to jail. Iran has also threatened Israel. Brigadier General Kamarz Hidari, the commander of the Iranian army's ground forces, stated today that Israel will receive a harsh response from Iran and the resistance front if they decide to launch an invasion of Lebanon. Indeed, pretty much every mainstream source is stating this as if it's a foregone conclusion. So it's going to happen. I think the price of oil slowly ticking up reflects that, in spite of downward economic trends that would likely, or that should in theory, indicate a lower oil price. Oil is still going up or remaining at a relatively high level. And Israeli forces are currently shifting towards the northern border, and Netanyahu is already starting to claim victory in the Gaza Strip so he can relocate forces into the north. The Telegraph recently did a hit piece saying, and the Lebanese are saying that this is just misinformation, claiming that there are weapons going through the Beirut airport that are being used by Hezbollah. Now, I'm not an expert in terms of the distinction between the Lebanese government and Hezbollah, so we're not even going to go there. But the Lebanese government is, of course, a distinct entity from Hezbollah. Israel is trying to make the case that this airport is being used. And they're doing this, I think, not even necessarily because they have evidence, but it's their way of telegraphing that, okay, you claim that you're going to attack our strategic sites, including our nuclear facilities. We are going to target your airport. And or that we are going to, basically that's signaling, right? That, you know, just putting them on notice that this is what's going to go first and the war is going to come to Beirut. Of course, the USA has doubled down that the USA is going to come to Israel's aid in should a war break out in the Middle East, which is crazy because you would think that we would have some say in how that went, considering the only reason why they're still, why they're still able to defend themselves is because of American weapons. That's the only reason, period, point blank. And the Israelis have also claimed that they're going to use weapons that they haven't used before. However, that these are not non-conventional, meaning not nuclear weapons, but we are going to use some unconventional weapons. Are they talking about some sort of dedicated EMP weapon, or are they going to frame it as such? I believe it was the Israeli theater where they were attempting to frame a nuclear weapon as an EMP weapon, and that the nuclear fallout radioactive effects were residual and not primary. So, yes, I think it was. I think it was an Israeli political scientist or pundit or some parliamentarian who was talking about how EMP weapons, calling them EMP weapons, so trying to present it as if it's not a nuclear weapon, when the only real effective EMP weapon that it can extend within a reasonable area that you would want to really use it, that would be tactically useful, is something that is triggered by a nuclear explosion. So are they going to black out Lebanon, and how are they going to do that without blacking out themselves? Of course, it's line of sight based. So depending on the altitude that you were to detonate something like that at, you wouldn't have any blast radius. There would be no, you know, nuclear bomb per se, but you'd end up blocking out, you know, Lebanon and quite possibly your own country as well, and whatever countries were connected to that grid, because of course high surge of energy can go through power lines that are connected to surrounding grids and fry their transformers as well. Is that what they mean when they say weapons that we haven't used before, but not nuclear, right? Now, Fox News is really pressing for a war with Iran. Really pressing for a war with Iran. According to a UN watchdog, they've confirmed, and this is from Fox News, okay? And this is why when Trump gets in, it's going to be Armageddon with Iran either way. The question is it going to start before that time? UN watchdog is confirming, a UN watchdog, what does that even mean? That's an official term is baffling unto itself. Has confirmed Iran's installation of advanced centrifuges, okay? They're claiming that G7 leaders, UN watchdogs, IAEA directors, which is debatable, and Axios are reporting that there's an emergency high-level meeting between Israeli intelligence officials and U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan about Iran's development of nuclear weapons. They're claiming that Iran needs to get a nuke before Trump gets elected. Because, of course, remember, Trump has a hit on him by the Iranians. The Iranians actually have a warrant for Trump's arrest, or worse. I can't remember exactly what it is. I think it's a warrant for his arrest because, of course, he killed Soleimani. And he's opposed to the JCPOA, the nuclear deal. So the Ukrainians have a do-or-die situation, and they also have an election coming up, and they're expecting to elect a hardliner who is going to likely be pro-use of nuclear weapons. Now, according to the Shiller PE ratio, that's the top, okay? That is the top. See that right there, where it's pointing? That is what they call the top. The top is when your grandma refinances her home to buy NVIDIA stock, which is why NVIDIA has been crashing for the last 3 days. I've been calling this. I've been saying we're at the top. We're at the top. When that kind of crazy shit starts to happen for no reason, and that rock star celebrity, you know, you got the CEO signing the girl's boobs. I mean, you know, it's over. It's just mania at that point. So, you know, in terms of the economy, yeah, it's the top. The yen is crashing. Bitcoin's crashing. Bitcoin fell 7.8%. It dipped below 60. Of course, there's always going to be the bear trap. There's always going to be, or the bull trap, I should say. People who are going to seize on that low and gobble it up at a lower price because they think the price is going to go to $1 million or whatever sort of shit Michael Saylor has been selling them on lately. I still want to get that guy on the channel, by the way. No disrespect to him, but it's one of those things I just can't get behind for reasons I won't get into. Alex Jones has officially been shut down. Alex Jones' InfoWars outlet will be shut down and sold off. I don't know what that really means in terms of the corporate structure. Does he just move everything to some other company and go by another name? I don't know. But it's an interesting data point in light of the election coming up. We have the Federal Reserve allegedly hacked. The United States Federal Reserve has allegedly been hacked by a ransom group called Lockbit. Now, this one I probably should have did first because the implications here are profound. The group claims to have extracted, get a load of this, 33 terabytes of sensitive banking information, 33 terabytes. That number always seems to rear its ugly head. I'll throw one bone to you tinfoil hatters out there. You know where you are. The data reportedly includes confidential details of American banking activities. This could be one of the most substantial breaches of financial data in history, if proven true. 33 terabytes of juicy banking information will be released. Oh boy. Oh boy. Could a hack be the catalyst for the undoing of the financial system that friend of the channel Bill Holter was talking about in the video that we just released yesterday? NVIDIA loses $500 billion in market share. It really doesn't mean a damn thing when your, you know, company valuation is riding in the $3.5 trillion range. So it's like big deal. It's money that never really existed anyways, right? It's just inflation. That's all it is. Trading at 23 times earnings. So Dmitry Medvedev posted a very telling image. I'll leave you on a Medvedev meditation. We're going to call this Medvedev Meditations. He's the guy who's always talking about nuking everybody. Now, he chose an interesting image when he said the following. Seoul, North or South Korea, is fussing about the new Russia DPRK treaty. We'll strictly fulfill it, including the articles on mutual security. But the relationship with South Korea will deteriorate further, considering their mindless joining the anti-Russian sanction. So let me just say that again. Seoul is fussing about the new Russia DPRK treaty. Now, I should state that this treaty between Russia and North Korea is ironclad. People don't really know the extent to what it means yet, but essentially it's more than Article 5. It means that whenever one of these countries is attacked, which of course Russia just got attacked, remember that, that means that both sides are obligated to come to the aid of the other. It's not like Article 5 where there's a should clause in there. Okay, we've been attacked, so you should act on our behalf and attack or help us defend against the intruder, the invader. This is an ironclad strategic partnership, military partnership. They are allies. They're military allies. If you get attacked, I'll come and have your back. We'll strictly fulfill it, including the articles on mutual security. So basically threatening South Korea, okay? But the relationship with South Korea will deteriorate further, considering they're mindless joining the anti-Russian sanctions. Of course, the South Koreans are getting ready to ship weapons, if they haven't already, by a third party, United States, to Ukraine. Now, here's the image that he chose to show for that. That is the North Korean, I believe it's the Hwasong nuclear ICBM, the biggest, I believe, ICBM, right up there with the Sarmat-2 nuclear missile. Now, why would they show that? Why would he post that picture? He's implying that they're going to give North Korea nuclear technology, probably deployment system technology, if they haven't already, let's be honest, but also threatening Seoul as well. So shit is just getting crazy all over the map. Keep on prepping, folks. I got a lot of work to do out in the farm, so I got to get out of here, but stay tuned because we got a lot of great information coming your way. And if you missed the Bill Holter interview, I'd encourage you to go and check that interview out. He provides some perspective on how the gold price is manipulated, as well as the financial system, and his theory that once things start to come undone, it's only going to be a matter of 3 days before the system, the financial system that is, completely unravels. Thanks for watching, my friends. Stay safe. Canadian Prepper out.